You remember the times when Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come"? When his mother wanted him to change water into wine at the party, he said, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." Which I've always taken to mean, it's not time to show my stuff, to reveal who I am. Or maybe even, magic tricks are really not why I'm here. This was his hour, this weekend, the experience of crucifixion, tomb, and resurrection. His hour finally came. At least that's how the authors of the book of John see it. In the fourth gospel, Jesus is not a victim. Crucifixion is his ultimate glory. It is God fully revealed in him and the ultimate act of love. We have talked a lot about the book of John, and it's especially important at Easter because it gives us a completely different view of Jesus and the meaning of his life and death. Its message was somehow overlooked or ignored through the centuries, or Christians just read into John what they thought would be there based on the other books. John does not claim that Jesus died to atone for our sins. We talked last week about atonement. For John, Jesus was not a special being who invaded the world and then left and would come again. Jesus was a human being inviting us into a new dimension of living, a new understanding of what it means to be human in oneness with the divine. For John, there was never a fall into sin, so therefore there was no separation between God and humans. For John, there was no second coming except for our awakening to new life, to the permeating presence of Spirit. We don't know whether anything from the book of John really happened or what Jesus really said. But John is written in a way that gives new meaning to the whole Easter drama. And Jesus explains exactly what it means in the chapters of John called the Farewell Discourses. These are long monologues. They're only in the book of John, where Jesus tries to impart all the knowledge and understanding he can to his students before he leaves. He warns them about persecution, that every time there is a breakthrough in consciousness, those who can't go there will become hostile, defensive, even violent. He reassures them that even though he is going away, they will remain open to this new understanding of what it means to be human. He reminds them of their oneness with the divine. I am the vine, you are the branches. God flows into me, I flow into you. Your job is to stay attached to the vine because you can't bear fruit if you're not connected to the vine. The same life and love of God flowing into Jesus would flow to his people. This was a new idea. This was early Christian mysticism, that our relationship with God was mutual indwelling. God was not up in the sky, but in our lives. So let me read you from John Shelby Spong's book about John. And here he's paraphrasing what Jesus was telling his disciples before he left. And telling us, you must not be dependent on me. You must rise to a new level of responsibility, a new maturity. It is to your advantage that I go away. God cannot be limited to one mediator. All of you are lives in whom and through whom God can live and work. I was the doorway into this new experience, but once you've walked through the doorway, there is a limitless spirit that you can and will engage. This spirit will open new doors and lead you into all truth. Trust what you know. Trust who you are. Live into your new being. Most of all, in these farewell discourses, Jesus talked about love. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." He said the fullest life is giving love away, and the greatest love is giving life away. Jesus was saying he would be most alive when he was being crucified. He would escape the human drive for survival. He would lay down his life, his ego, his human identity, out of love. So Jesus' life was not taken from him. He gave it up. He did not resist arrest and trial. He didn't defend himself. He gave himself away. He overcame the world. In the other Gospels, Jesus wrestles with fear and ego. You remember he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Let this cup pass from me," but not in John. In John, he says, "It was for this purpose that I was born. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men and women to myself." His hour had come. This was his ultimate purpose. It was about divine love for us and our chance to enter into new life and consciousness. This is Spong again. The good news of the gospel, as John understands it, is not that you, a wretched, miserable, fallen sinner, have been rescued from your fate and saved from your deserved punishment by the invasive power of a supernatural, heroic God who came to your aid. Nowhere does John give credibility to the dreadful, guilt-producing, and guilt-filled mantra that Jesus died for my sins. There is rather an incredible new insight into the meaning of life. We are not fallen. We are simply incomplete. We do not need to be rescued, but to experience the power of an all-embracing love. Our call is not to be forgiven or even to be redeemed. It is to step beyond our limits into a new understanding of what it means to be human. It is to move to a realization that we share in a universal consciousness. Did you know the Bible says that? The book of John actually has four resurrection stories, and they're strung together as if they happened chronologically. They're all familiar. They were making different points for different audiences, but we can learn from each of them. So the first is Mary Magdalene at the tomb early Sunday morning. She is distraught that the tomb is empty. She sees a man she thinks is the gardener and demands to know where the body has been taken. Now, for her to be in charge of the body indicates a wife or a very close relationship. But I'm going to talk next week entirely about Mary Magdalene. So just save that. This man she thought was the gardener speaks her name, Mary. And then she knows who he is. Rabboni, rabbi, teacher. It's a term of affection. Sorry, I'm juggling books today. So she goes to hug him, and he says, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father." And then he asks her to go and tell the disciples that I am ascending to my Father. I am ascending. So whatever this transition was still in process. Mary goes and tells the guys, "I have seen the Lord." She has seen the new meaning of life and death. She has entered into that new dimension of living. She has realized that the veil is very thin. And she has met Jesus, if not in physical form, then in a realm outside of time and space between heaven and earth. In the second story, Peter and the disciple Jesus loved rush to the tomb and find it empty. They never see Jesus in any form. This is different from the raising of Lazarus. There's no physical body. But the disciple Jesus loved understands immediately what has happened. Remember a few weeks ago we said that disciple probably was Lazarus? So of course he understood that the essence of Jesus still lived. Peter, as usual, didn't understand it. But he gets another chance. The third story seems to be that evening, Sunday evening, the disciples are having supper in a locked room, and Jesus materializes. So there's still a non-physical quality to him. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There's a lot going on here. Jesus is giving his disciples responsibility not just for carrying his message, but to live as Jesus did. The community now becomes the source of new life, the guides for others. They become apostles on a mission. Jesus breathed on them, just as God breathed life into Adam. Breath is the animating life force of the divine. The word spirit is from the Latin spiritus, which means breath. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach, which means breath. Yahweh, you can't say it without exhaling. Breath and spirit have been linked since the beginning. Breath is spirit and life, the creative activity of God on the earth and in you. In the farewell discourses, Jesus had promised that the Father would send the Spirit to the disciples, a counselor, an advocate, sometimes called the paraclete. It's all Holy Spirit. This is the second coming in John's view, not an event in the future and not just about Jesus, but the birth of all who choose the light and enter into oneness. To be born of Spirit is an inner experience. It's a new dimension of living beyond the ability of the world to hurt or kill. And of course, the disciples later laid down their lives to invite others into this new dimension. So resurrection in John is not a physical apparition, but an experience of the indwelling God. It is the infilling of Spirit as peace and guidance. It is the presence of divine love. The fourth story is a rerun of this meeting with the disciples. It's set a week later, and this time Thomas is there. He demands to see Jesus' wounds before he will believe it's really Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Remember, John was written about 100 AD, so probably no one was left who had actually known Jesus. This was a story for doubters, those who wanted physical proof, and we all know some of those people even today. It was not easy then, and it's not easy now, to apprehend the degree of unconditional love conveyed in these stories. Jesus was willing to die. He was not concerned with the world. He was doing everything possible to let us know we can live expanded lives from a higher perspective, as he did. I read recently that while most avatars quietly gather themselves in and transcend the world, Jesus was more like a spinning top, flinging out love with centrifugal force. Imagine what it must have been like in his presence. And they felt that presence, that energy, even after his death. Every Easter, when I look at these stories again, what I see more clearly are the struggling, flailing efforts to describe what cannot be put into words. They couldn't really describe the experience of being with Jesus or explain the new life he offered us. Even Jesus had to show us rather than tell us what divine love looks like. He laid down his life with love for us. Then he appeared to us. He breathed on us. He showed us the scars of his human existence so that we would know we all start at the same point, and what was possible for him was and is possible for us. Very briefly from Spong, again and again, the fourth gospel drives home its point. God is not an external, distant deity. God is a life we enter, a love we share, the ground in which we are rooted. We celebrate the renewal of our lives today. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we simply relax. Become comfortable in your chair. Let it support you the way the universe supports you. You might want to close your eyes or take a deep breath, whatever is comfortable for you, whatever helps you turn within. Turn within to that place in you where you know peace, where you know oneness. Sometimes that place is hard to find in the busyness and the drama of our human lives. But it is always there, like a pilot light, a flame of the divine, warming and lighting us. With every breath you take, you are breathing the animating life force of God. Breath means you are alive. That the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. The Holy Spirit is divine love. It is our co-creation with God. It is the presence, the one presence in our lives and in the universe. And so we take a few moments to connect with that presence or to remember, become aware again that we are always enveloped in that love. We are grateful for the life of Jesus that taught us so much about what it means to be human and what is possible for us when we are fully aligned with God, when we stay attached to the vine. We are grateful for those who wrote the story in different ways, for different audiences, so that everyone could have a glimpse of what Jesus offered us. A new way of living, a new dimension of being. And we say yes. And so it is. Amen.